Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, I'm very proud to bring you The Art of Healing with Kak Young. Greetings and welcome, Kak. How are you?
Wonderful, Hercules. Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to your show tonight. All the information I received was very tantalizing and promises for an awesome show.
Well, I hope we patience. Yes, indeed.
Your guest is here.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Then I will just get right on. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show tonight a woman that is, well, she's just remarkable. I would have to say she's an archangel. You know, I mean, there's
wow.
got to be a space for her in this world with that title. I mean, it's a book that I read, and I must say I was choked up through most of it. It's extraordinary. Her life is extraordinary, and I'm very honored that she could take the time to be with us tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about this archangel. She is an internationally recognized Reiki master teacher who has worked with surgeons and other health professionals for many years. She is the author of the award-winning book, The Healing Power of Reiki, in which she shares her experiences in the operating room at Ground Zero after 9/11 with professional athletes, including the New York Giants football teams and a lot of others. It is a groundbreaking approach to using her energy medicine for challenging treatments. Now, her new book is called Medical Reiki, and it is also her company. How this formed is what we're going to learn all about. Many people have said extraordinary things about her, and I want to talk to her about her life, her inspiration, and so please welcome the amazing Raven Keys.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank
Hello,
you.
Hello, Raven. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, and I'm so excited that we could be together. We're on two coasts. You're in the on the West Coast, and I'm in, on the East Coast, and here we are. Modern technology brings us together.
Yes, for as long as it works. I'm always amazed that it actually does. But so Raven, we share a publisher and we share a publicist, and you were brought to my attention by Kat Neff, and she's wonderful. And then I read your book. Well, my goodness, it is inspiring. Your life is inspiring. And I was fascinated. I am a Reiki master as well, but nothing like you or to your level. I mean, you are an inspiration and an aspiration for a lot of people. So I want to talk about your life a little bit and how you got into Reiki and then all the work you've done with the first responders after 9/11 and the work that you do in operating rooms right now, helping people to really survive the trauma of operation and the fear that goes along with it. So, Raven, how did this all begin for you?
Do you mean how did I get into the hospital work or just begin at all?
How did you begin at all? What attracted you to Reiki and when was that? Tell me about your first experience.
Well, I think my first experience was around 1994, and I had a private yoga teacher, and she came over, and my husband was alive at the time, so we had private classes with her. So she came over, and she had just done a Reiki training, and she said, "Well, you know, Raven, you look like you're too tired to do yoga today. So I'm going to do this Reiki on you. I just learned how to do it, and I'll lead Michael in his yoga practice." So I lay down on my mat, and she put her – all she did was put her hands on the bottoms of my feet. And I could not believe what I felt. I was just – amazed by how much energy I felt, how blissful it was. And she was paying no attention to me at all. She was watching my husband and telling him, "No, bend a little more that way. No, stretch that, blah, blah, blah." Meanwhile, in spite of her paying no attention to me, I was just flooded with this Reiki. And I decided I wanted to learn how to do it. But I didn't know anybody. I thought I would study with the person that trained my yoga teacher, but it didn't work out that way. I ended up getting something in the snail mail, because it was a long time ago, way before email, and it was from a teacher who at the time was living in Colorado. Then she moved to Hawaii, and now she's back in California. Nevertheless, she was coming to New York, and I didn't know her. I didn't know anything about her, but my meditation teacher told me she was going to take her training. So I decided I would do it too. And so as soon as I became a Reiki master with Lori Grant, is her name, I was contacted by Equinox Fitness, because my husband was a musician and he had a student who was in my apartment on the very moment, in the very moment when my Reiki table delivered. So he said, "Michael, what is that?" "Oh, it's my wife's Reiki table." He goes, "You know what? I never even heard that word before, but my girlfriend is Lavinia Errico, and she owns Equinox Fitness. And just last night, she said to me she was looking for somebody to do that in the spa on 76th Street." And so anyway, long story short, I ended up becoming a Reiki practitioner. Professionally, just as soon as I became a Reiki master. Well, you know, when you do Reiki, when you study Reiki, when Reiki even comes into your life at all, your life changes forever. It's never the same. And you have no idea what's going to happen. And same with me. I mean, because I worked at Equinox, I was asked to teach meditation classes. I had never done that. I ended up teaching all over New York City in all these different Equinox fitness clubs. And because I was there, I ended up going into surgery, because one of the clients became my client. And a few years into our doing Reiki together, she needed open heart surgery. And so she asked me, would I go to the operating room with her, because she was interviewing surgeons. She had interviewed David Letterman's surgeon, and now she was about to do Oz, the great and powerful Oz. And I said, "No, absolutely not. I cannot do that. I will faint. I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. I can't." And I had read an article about Oz and how he had healers in his operating room, but I just didn't think I could do such a thing. But then when she was on the table, the Archangel Gabriel, who is my main guide since forever, came and said, "You have to say yes to her. You have to do this. There's so much that needs to happen from it. You won't be alone. I'll be with you. I'm bringing legions of angels with me. You can do this. Just give her your resume at the end of this session," which I thought was hilarious, because I had just written my resume the day before. The next day I was teaching meditation at Equinox, and because it's New York City, there were every kind of person was my student. And there was one person that was a anesthesia doctor. And so after class, I said, "You know, I have a client. She wants me to go to open heart surgery with Dr. Oz. what do you think? He said, no, 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 that's never going to happen. It's just not done. And not 5 minutes later, the phone rang, and it was Susanna, and she was like, Raven, he said yes. Dr. Oz said yes. All he wanted was to see your resume, and I had it in my pocketbook. I mean, you know what I'm saying. It's like you can't make these things up.
Exactly. Now, let's go back a tiny bit. And for those who maybe don't know the process of Reiki, we'll say that it's not something that you learn in a book. It is handed down, teacher to teacher, hands-on, one-on-one, and there are three or more levels of Reiki instruction. And it is really a spiritual process. The progress is measured by the teacher, and you really are taught how to intake the information and then how to use it, and sometimes via symbols and sometimes just like your yoga teacher did, just straight, just working with energy management through her hands. And then we're also talking about Dr. Mehmet Oz, the famous mm-hmm. heart surgeon and TV personality. So I just wanted to get everybody up to date on the lingo here. So when you went into that operating room for the first time, you describe it as being something life-changing, that you didn't think you could do it, but you got through it, and it was an extraordinary experience. And your client, Suzanne, had a major success.
Yes. Reiki has proven anecdotally to make a tremendous difference. And because of the fact that I went to surgery with Mehmet Oz, it was like all these doors started opening. For one thing, he asked me to join his research team. Now, I had no idea why he would ask me, who was really basically a nobody as far as I was concerned in his world of, you know, PhDs and all these research doctors and everything else. So I would go to his office on Tuesday mornings at 7:30 in the morning, and he was always in scrubs because he did surgery that day. And so, you know, and people were like, doing research on all kinds of things and being published in major medical journals. And so when somebody's research was going to be published, I would, you know, cheer along with everybody else. But I had no idea why he wanted me there until one day I was told that he had a tremendous interest in energy medicine, what he termed or called energy medicine, and he wanted to measure this energy in some way, shape, or form. And at that point, he put me together with a research doctor who was, and we were working on a project together. I was on a list of approved practitioners at the hospital, and I ended up going to other surgeries and working on amazing cases. And then the last case that I worked on was just before 9/11. There was a young man who had to get a double lung transplant. And there's a whole story that goes along with that. It's very long and complicated. But the long and the short of it is that his surgeon really didn't want me to go to the surgery in the beginning. And then the young man got so ill, he had to be in the hospital, and he was so sick that he wasn't expected to live till the morning. And they called me and asked me to come to the hospital and give him Reiki. You know, it was his family that asked me to come. And so that's what I did. And it wasn't approved by the doctor, but it didn't matter. You know, they wanted me, so he was about to die, and that was the end of it. But it wasn't the end of it at all, because not only did he survive the night, he slept through the night. He was rested in the morning. And when the doctor came in, he was a Christian man, the doctor. When he saw that Robert had lived through the night, he fell to his knees and prayed to God right then and there that the lungs would come and that day. They needed to come that day because that's how sick the boy was. And they did come that day, and he had changed his mind because he said, if she could make you live through the night, then I really want her to be part of this. And so he approved me to be in the operating room, but then in heart, in any transplant surgery, what's going on is this. There's a team of doctors. They get on a jet. They go to wherever accident was, where they're harvesting organs. If everything looks okay, like this was the third time this guy was on the operating table. Two times before, the lungs were too damaged and the accidents for him to get lungs. So he was really terrified if, whether or not it was going to happen. And nevertheless, the doctor said I could be there, but the crew, the whole other surgical team that were taking out the lungs, that lead surgeon knew nothing about me to be there. He didn't know that the other doctor had approved this. He said, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to allow this. You can come in the operating room until he goes to sleep, and then you have to leave. And then when the doctor gets here with the lungs, if he wants you in there, that's his business, but I'm not going to play along with this. So that's what happened is, but I knew that, well, anyway, so I went in until he went to sleep, but I knew that I was never going to be able to walk into the operating room with him, with his lungs out and all that. I would not be able to do it. And I knew that. I knew I would faint. There was not a doubt in my mind. So what I did instead was I taught everybody how to send energy and angels, and we were praying together and we were doing all this stuff. And then his fiance asked me, it was such a crazy thing. This would never, ever, ever in a million years happen that we were allowed for some reason. It was like the angels opened the doors or something. We were allowed to stand outside the operating room. It's not done, but we were there. So we were standing outside the operating room giving Reiki. You know, I was sending Reiki through the door. And she was like, you know, sending prayers and everything, standing with me. And all of a sudden, I hear feet running. They're running down. People are running. Like, and here comes that surgeon that said I could be in the operating room. He's running by with the whole team that just are coming with the lungs in a cooler, and they're raced past. And the fiance goes, this is Raven, she's giving Reiki. And he yells back to me, give me some. And he ran into the operating room. And anyway, it was a complete success, the operation. He was expected to be in the ICU for a few days. I mean, it was, and he was out like within a day and went home in record time. And everything was amazing. And a year later, I danced at their wedding.
Well, I know that one of your biggest supporters is Dr. Sheldon Feldman, and he said in his foreword, he said, Raven's help is invaluable in preparing a patient for their journey. She creates a safe place to cry, to express how they are really feeling. And I find it is a really big deal for my patients to have someone present in the operating room who is loving and who cares deeply for them. In what can be a busy and structured reality in which we all have very intense and specific jobs to do, Raven reminds us why we are really there first and foremost as healers. I found that to be really telling of a doctor who would believe in your work so much that he would help foster your career and also help you create. Once he had witnessed and seen Dr. Feldman and Dr. Oz had seen the wondrous work that you do, they were able then to encourage you to form a company and do this so that you had some power behind you that was, in a sense, corporate. So tell me how that happened and what you're doing now.
Yes. Dr. Feldman it really wants everyone to be able to have Reiki if they want it, because people are going through such really intense things. Medicine can do miracles, but at the same time, the work that they do can leave the patient shattered. And when Reiki's in the operating room, it's incredible. It's just a completely different reality. But getting back to your question, my husband was very ill, and he was close to death, and there was nothing I could do about it. And I went up on a mountaintop, and I was crying, and Archangel Gabriel came to me and told me that, everything was under control. The angels were totally aware of what was going on, that this was my husband's journey, that he was going to be taken care of. He was coming home to them, and that his mission was different. He had a different mission, and he was going forth with it. And I, on the other hand, had something that would help me that they needed me to do, meaning the angels. And that was that I train other Reiki masters and everything I know about being in surgery and all what to do, how to take care of yourself, what you need to know, what you need to do if there's an emergency, on and on and on, all the things that I had learned over the years. So I started doing that, and it like took off like crazy. It was like, I asked my New York students to come. Everybody came. And then, somehow people in Canada heard about it and started coming to New York, and people came from Maryland and around the United States. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't advertising or anything, but all this stuff started happening. So that went on. Then I was asked to go to Canada, blah, 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 this and that and this and that. So finally I thought, gosh, I really ought to tell Dr. Feldman about this. And usually at this point, if I saw Dr. Feldman, it was in pre-op, before surgery, with the patient, or in the operating room. That was it. I didn't have meetings with him. We didn't hang out. I never saw him except in those two places. So I made an actual appointment with him to be in his office. I told him I needed to tell him some stuff. So we sat there, and he was like, something, Raven, you need to start a company. This has to be backed up by a company in order for it to do the real work that it needs to do in the world. There has to be legitimacy to this. So I started a company. I didn't know what to call it, and I was going to, I asked all these people. In the end, they said, you have books out. People know who you are. You're known for Reiki. Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. And I didn't really want to do that because I don't have, a huge ego. Anybody that knows me knows that. It's all about the work and the people and helping others to get ahead. I'm just like that. And anyway, but I did it. And actually now I'm glad that I did, because I have so much passion for it, and it's my name. I'm not going to let anything weird happen in my name if I can help it. And so I'm really, 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 with the highest of integrity, teaching other Reiki masters everything I know. And now there are Reiki masters all over the world, and there's even a gal came from Ireland here, to New York, and she took the training, and then she worked with me because she was part of the Reiki Federation of Ireland, and she worked with me to open a division of Raven Keith Medical Reiki Ireland, which is in Sligo, and the Reiki Federation, a lot of the Reiki Federation Reiki Masters are now Medical Reiki Masters. And we've come up with a thing where they're about to, they've been invited to bring the work into the top maternity hospital in Ireland. And they've set up a pre-op area for them. They're just waiting for COVID to end. All this new work can start in another country.
That is amazing. So in your book, you say that Reiki is not a cure. So what is its purpose then?
No, it isn't a cure. It's what it is. It's a balancing. It's spiritual. It's spiritual energy medicine. It's called energy medicine. Dr. Oz named it that. But what is it? It's divinity. Whatever God is, goddess, all that is, whatever you want to call it, great spirit, that's what Reiki is. And that's why you have to study with a person, a Reiki master in person, because that transference of energy that Mikeo Usui received in the original, like 100 years ago now, and I have to tell you something about that too, came through, and like it's like the tuning fork. So we receive that evolution, that opening of whatever divinity is, so that we can channel that through our hands. We don't. What is our job? It's to be empty. We ask to be the hollow bone. That's all. What do I know about what needs to happen in the surgery? I don't know anything about what needs to happen. All I know is that this person needs this energy, and the energy is intelligence because it's divinity. It's God, goddess, all that is. That's what it is. So it knows what to do. And so I just always say in the operating room, I ask to be the hollow bone. I ask to be the hollow bone. And if I think of any word, it's heal. Heal, 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 heal. And you know, if I get bored saying I have to be the hollow bone or something, you know. So now Dr. Feldman, because of his really supporting Reiki, he is going to be a keynote speaker at the 100-year anniversary of Mikeo Usui bringing forth Reiki into the world in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
That's very fabulous.
Yes.
Unbelievable. You know, you've just made so many converts in your path. I loved reading. You know, it's like a bowling alley. You just knock them over like a strike. It's just great. I love it. All right, so I'm going to get back to you say that illness. All illness arrives first in the spiritual body and works its way down to the physical. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that is something that Mikeo Usui said. At one time, I actually had one of his original books. It was like, I don't know what happened to it, but it was papers that were, Xerox copies of all this information, and some of it was in Japanese, but loosely translated into English here and there. And that is one of the things that he said, was that illness came in on the spiritual body first, and then would work its way down to the mental, emotional, and physical body if it wasn't attended to spiritually. And really, in today's world, there's so much chaos. Really, people live quite the opposite of a spiritual life for the most part. And then also, some people have a destiny to bring forth something. So even if they are spiritual, they could become ill if that's something they signed up for before they ever came to life as we know it. In order to prove something. And I actually have somebody who is a certified medical Reiki master, a more recent one, and she found out like 2 weeks before she took the training that she had really serious cancer, breast cancer. So the whole tribe, everybody knows what she's going through, and she's receiving Reiki from so many people. And, at one point, the doctors, they didn't know what to say. They were like, what happened to the cancer? What is going on here? Why is this gone? And, that's, what can you say? I mean, that's just one example. I think I'm getting a little off the track here. I really apologize. I just get so excited.
Of course not.
Medicine.
Yeah, that's what we... That's what we want to do. We want to get people excited about something that you can hardly define except, as you did very nicely, as the divine, as its presence, as God, the all-knowing. And it does know what to do. That's what's incredible. All we do, I think, is add a little fuel to the already burning fires to be the conduit of that energy on this plane. You know, I teach medical Qigong, and I teach that there is the heavenly energy, the earthly energy, and then that we are the middle. We are the middle energy, and we are the middle dantian, where we are the conduit between heaven and earth. And so being that, I mean, that's to me what Reiki does, is that you bring in that cosmic energy and then you pass it out to the human beings there and focus it to a certain purpose. And that's where the divinity can manifest itself.
Exactly. And the thing is that it raises the vibration of everything in the operating room. Everything in the operating room is raised vibrationally in the presence of Reiki. People feel it, like they do surgery all the time. And all of a sudden, what is going on in here? You know, not everybody is sensitive to energy, but I've had people come up to me still at the end of a surgery with the mask on. We're still like getting the patient ready to go to post-op. I've had nurses come up to me and say, "What were you doing? I want your card. I never felt anything like this in my life." You know, it's like that. And And one time, Dr. Feldman told me that he could feel the energy when he does surgery. He can feel it in his hands. But that is something that is very sweet for him to say. And I think he is very sensitive to a lot of things, and that's why he wants Reiki for his patients. But the fact of the matter is, I can't really, you know, that's not really my story to tell. That's really something that he would have to say for himself, for sure, for sure, for sure. But, you know, he might have been kidding with me one day, you know, and just said that. I don't know.
Well, the passion that he writes about the process and about you as the administrator of it is just remarkable. I mean, he has become a great believer in this, and I'm sure he notices the difference when you are not there, when he has to do surgery without your presence. And I also loved how you talk about the interaction with the anesthesiologist is like a dance. The two of you coordinate the whole thing. Talk to me about that. It just sounds magical to me.
Well, it's very interesting because nobody knows why anesthesia works. It's a big mystery still. Like, anesthesia doctors are like alchemists of the highest order, if you ask me. They're keeping the patient sometimes or a breath away from passing to the other side. And they can be so nervous about having somebody in their space, which is where I am most of the time, especially for breast cancer. That's where I am, next to anesthesia. They are amazing beings, and they are it is a dance that we do together. I, you know, need to assure them at this point, because after a while, this is just going to become standard operating procedure. They'll be saying, "Where's Reiki? We can't go to the operating room. Where's Reiki?" If the Reiki, you know, if Reiki's in the bathroom, we can't go yet. You know, that kind of thing. But right now, it's like we're training each other. Like, I'm training them and teaching them about energy, about what I'm doing, and they're like, they train me like about what they're doing when they feel like it. It's a very, very, you know, you have to be really, really sensitive around them because they are the ones who are holding the responsibility of more than we can ever know. And usually if you know, the blood pressure goes crazy or the heart rate is going bizarre or berserk or anything, or the patient is like jiggling on the table, it's up to them to take care of it. And if something goes wrong, a lot of times it falls on them. So there is a dance that we do together, and it's not always an easy dance either. Sometimes it's really, okay, we have to get through this one way or another because, you know, there it is. Not everybody is really thrilled.
But I'm going to quote from your book again, and you talk about on page 75 the benefits. You say that. With Reiki, with medical Reiki, when it's added to surgical events, that a patient's blood pressure remains steady on the operating table, there is less bleeding, fewer complications arise, hospital stays are shorter, healing is quicker, less pain medication is needed after surgery, and sometimes after 1 or 2 days post-surgery, no pain medicine is needed at all. And these are just some of the physical benefits that we have seen and measured. So right there, isn't that enough proof to get a Reiki master in every OR?
Well, we would think so, wouldn't we? And what I was saying about anesthesia before, they don't know what you just read. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, well, who's this now? You know, what? You know, it's not
right.
That well known. So right now, it really is like a tenuous dance of, I know who you are, and I respect what you know how to do, and I'm not going to get in your way. That's a big thing. I know what I need to do. If you need to do X, Y, or Z, I mean, I am very kind. Of course, it's like you have to really, really respect them. And for myself, you know, it's been like, oh, my gosh, and it's like, I was a mother at a very young age. I didn't even go to college. And here I am because I was a mother and I was doing other things. And then I became an actor I could have gone to college at one point, but no, I wanted to, study acting. And I was an actor for many years until I became a Reiki master. But here I am in the presence of people with huge educations, you know, it's like, and what they've gone through to become a doctor. And I'm very aware of all these things right now. And so it's been a thing for me to just feel comfortable in the beginning, especially to be with, this is New York City. It's like the surgeons that are in this town, you know, they're like internationally famous as surgeons or whatever. I mean, I am so amazed because I have 3 books. This is my 3rd one. The first one I had my foreword was written by Dr. Mehmet Oz. The second book was The Healing Light of Angels. The surgeon that wrote the foreword for that book is the one that took out my kidney. And he was so blown away by Reiki, having Reiki in the operating room. He had never had that happen before, but I was like, I can't get the surgery unless I have a Reiki master. I just can't do it. I know what happens in the operating room. I can't do it. And he allowed me to have my Lisa Wilson, who I trained on the phone after that because he said she could come. And it was like, so, and now I have Dr. Feldman, and it's like, this is making progress, you see, like, doing this work and never giving up and just sticking with it. And why is because of the patients, you know. And Dr. Feldman says that, you know, in the foreword that he finds it very powerful for me to make space because he would send his patients to me from the time of diagnosis till the end of their treatment. We have not been in the operating room through this whole pandemic. But when this pandemic is over, Dr. Feldman and I co-founded a not-for-profit that raised money and is raising money for medical Reiki research. And we are about to start to do a research project. As soon as the COVID restrictions are over, we're ready to go. And medical Reiki masters that I've trained are going to be going into the operating room, and this stuff is going to be measured to the what I don't know exactly what they're looking at. That's not my worry, or it's not my wheelhouse. They're doing their part. I'm doing my part. And because I started the company, I can't even go into the operating room. Isn't that amazing? It's only the people that I've trained.
Well, good. I mean, that's probably really good. They want to see how it works without the master, the master's master there, you know? And that'll be the
yes.
proof of the pudding. But
yes.
I want to also say to our listeners, the Cleveland Clinic has already listed the benefits of Reiki. Now, this is the Cleveland Clinic. This isn't just, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harriet down the street. This is a big deal. They have about 15 reasons that Reiki is something that they recommend, because it brings about a peaceful deep sleep, it dissolves energy blockages, it helps detoxify the body, supports the well-being of a person who's receiving traditional medical treatments that are just naturally debilitating, chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, etc. It supplies the universal life force energy to the body. It stimulates the immune system. It helps to relieve pain. It stimulates bone and tissue healing after surgery. Increases the vibrational frequency on physical, mental, and emotional levels. And the Cleveland Clinic thinks that this is the best thing since sliced bread. So you have moved very forward if you're getting that kind of accolades from these big organizations.
I know. It makes me almost cry when you just to hear you read that. I have been, it's amazing. It's just truly remarkable. And it's meant to be. And the angels say that this is, it needs to happen for more reasons than we know, because, there's so much change that needs to happen in the human race itself. And there's so much change. There has to be an evolution, finally, of humanity itself. And that, you know, they tell me that that's why so many people are sick. It's because, there's a lot of reasons why people are sick.
Yeah.
In a spiritual reality, what they're saying to me is that all these people are sick so they can have a chance to experience divinity while they're alive and possibly transform their lives. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, who knows what they're going to decide to do with their life in the end. But it really gives people an opportunity to make a different choice and say, you know what, I'm going to change my life, and now I'm going to devote myself to making the world a better place and however I can do that. And I've just seen it so many times. You know, somebody's really sick, and then they're like, what have I been doing, and what have I been thinking? Because really, at this moment of transformation, only certain people were allowed to even be born. And this is something that I know from, I've studied a lot of things, but this is something that comes in Buddhism. I found this out in Buddhism. There's a whole story about a ceremony that took place in the air, and, you know, and the Buddha was talking about the future, and that there was going to be this time coming that sounds exactly like now. There was going to be destruction everywhere. The environment was going to be out of control. Everything was going to be dying. You know, people would be suffering so much. Hope would be gone from the earth. All these things. So much violence, la, la, la. And at that time, there was going to be a need for these bodhisattvas to be born that were going to deal with all this and bring about the possibility for human beings to transform. And the Buddha had disciples that could do everything, miracles on steroids. You know, they could be in three places at once, make things appear in their hands, you name it, they could do it. They were like experts creating miracles. And they all raised their hands and said, I'll go, send me. And the Buddha said, I'm really sorry, but you can't go. You're not brave enough. This is going to be so harrowing of a time. You don't have the courage to do this. There are others that have been trained for this, and they're called the Bodhisattvas of the Earth. And when he spoke of them, out from way, like from the earth, rose up these beings of pure light. And they were so filled with light that at that time period, nobody could look at them with their naked eyes. And I totally, with my entire heart, believe that there are lots of us. I am not the only one. You are. We know so many people that are in the healing arts, and we are here. And it requires a lot of bravery to think that we are going to, you know, march into these. It's almost like, for me, like going into the lion's den. That's how it felt when I went into the operating room, and it's really hard to get used to it even now.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, I've come across another definition of yours that I want to say, because I think it is succinct, and we can all hang on to this, that the definition of Reiki is the invisible energy that makes everything alive. Now, lots of civilizations have called it chi or prana or mana or any of those things, but it's also Reiki. It's that energy in everything, and I think Reiki masters summon that energy forth and direct it. So, you know, those that practice this understand how to bring that energy in and how to direct it for specific reasons. What I also loved about your book is that it's a how-to book. What to do, how you tell doctors what to do. You give forms in your book of how to make this happen. It isn't just a book about you and about experiences and about Reiki, although that is extraordinary. It's extraordinarily powerful and beautifully well written. But you also give a practical solution, which I just adored. I thought, well, see, then that's the call to action in your book. People can buy it and follow it. I think everybody in the world should own medical Reiki. I do. I think it is such an eye-opening, heart-opening book that people need to be aware of, that there's something beyond their own little narcissistic pain, that they can do something more and they can receive something more. You make it easy, and that's great, because it should be. Now, tell us how people can find you and about your certification process. I'm sure that everybody who hears this is going to want to rush to your doorstep and say, I'm a healer. I want to do that. So tell us, Raven, how to find you and what to do.
Well, I have a company that's called Raven Keys Medical Reiki. International, but the website is RavenKeysMedicalReiki.com. It's easy. RavenKeysMedicalReiki.com. And then you could just go there, and then there are descriptions of things, there are testimonials, and the main thing, that if you wanted to become a certified medical Reiki master, there's a page called Trainings. And now, because of COVID, we aren't doing any of our trainings in person, but it doesn't matter, because everybody that comes to take this training is a Reiki master. I don't believe that anybody, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that anybody should go into the operating room who is not a Reiki master. It's too much. It's just too much. And I feel that everybody should be operating at that level. So only Reiki masters are allowed to take the training. In the training, it's like a two-day experience. We do lots and lots of explanation. I explain everything. And there's a manual, and we go through everything together. The first thing that people do is a meditation. Well, we have opening ceremonies. It's very spiritual and very practical together. both. And so one of the very first things we do is a meditation where the you meet the angel that's going to work with you in medicine, because they are just waiting to do this work, the angels, that is. And, you know, that can take a lot of different forms. But there is definitely someone or a group of someone who are just waiting. It's already been a contract made between whoever's going to go and do this medical Reiki and some spiritual force. Because when you're in the operating room, there's nobody that's going to help you. They are too busy to even treat that patient like a human being. You can't. It's like startling because they're too busy. They're too busy and their jobs are too intense for them to really pay any attention to you, even to the patient, as a matter of fact. It's absolutely startling when you realize what goes on in there. So when you're
well, it's like a
anything,
pit crew. It's like a pit crew, you know, NASCAR. Absolutely, I've been in one, and you know, I know what it's like. Yes, yes,
yes. You're that's a great description of it. That's exactly what it is. And yes, and so if anything goes awry. You have to have, as far as I'm concerned, I could never have gone through all of the things that I've seen and had to endure if I didn't have Gabriel with me all the time. And it's not like you have to think about it all the time. You know what I mean? It's like a constant. It just is. And if you are jammed up and you don't know what to do, you can call Gabriel, like for me, Gabriel. And it's like all of a sudden I know what to do. Or something happens in the room that gives me, protects me in some way, shape, or form. I know what to do. I just know what to do. And that's the end of it. And we have to have that. And also, what if it's the destiny of this person to pass over right now? I mean, who's to say that that's a bad thing? You know, I mean, you're unconscious,
yeah.
You're not in pain. You haven't been, like, dying, like, from pain for months on. And, no, here you are in an operating room, and you have a Reiki master with you. A medical Reiki master is taking care of your spirit. That's what we're doing. We're taking care of the person's spirit really intensely. We have all these angels. We are, like, working, our angels working with their angel and all the angels of all the people in the room. It's, like, really amazing. And if it's this time for this person to leave, it's never happened to me so far, but who knows what the future brings. We can really make it an easy transition because we are working with our angel, and we can make sure that everybody's negotiating for the highest good of that patient to go into the light right now without any ado, really easily, because we're there. And guess what? Oh, my gosh. I mean, when surgeons lose patients, it's terrible for them. They have to, you know, suck it up. That's the thing about it. What I know is that they suck it up all the time. They're not supposed to, like, have emotions, but they are human beings. They're hardwired as human beings, and they take it really hard. And so with us there, with one of us there, they don't have to take it so hard because, you know, we can tell them, you know what, they went into the light. It was beautiful. Oh, my God. It was just, like, beautiful. And comfort them right then and there. Who does that for them? Nobody. That's who. Nobody comforts them. And then they have to carry all this.
Well, yes, exactly. And you're there. And, you know, that's why I called you an archangel at the beginning of this. I really do think you are. And I know that, you know, the book, again, is Medical Reiki. It's by Raven, R-A-V-E-N, Keyes, K-E-Y-E-S. And if you buy the book for nothing more than the testimonial by Dr. Mandy O'Hara, you will do yourself a great favor. And before we go, I just want to say the five principles of Reiki for everybody. And Raven, we can say them together. Just for today, I will not worry.
I will not worry.
Just for today, I will not be angry.
I will not be angry.
Just for today, I will be grateful.
I will be grateful.
Just for today, I will live my life with integrity. And just for today, I will be kind to every living thing.
Yes.
My hat is off to you, Raven Keys. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for being on the show. And thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm overjoyed. And I just think, I hope I get to meet you in person soon.
Oh, I would love that. I come to New York every year except in COVID, so I'll be there again next Christmas. We'll definitely do that. And I now turn the show back to the wonderful Hercules. And I'll ask you back, Raven, and let's have more of this discussion. I think you're an amazing human being. I'm honored to know you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Hercules.
Thank you. This was a wonderful show. It was very, very deep and very, very moving. And I can't wait till you come back on.
Yay.
Thank you. Yay.
Have a great evening, Raven and Hercules. Thank you all so very much.
You
much love. Back.
You too, Raven. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And thanks to everybody.
Bye-bye.
Tonight, whether you listen to us live or whether you'll be joining us later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. We're going to close with Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley.
The golden bough.